As we're here for Memorial Day, the Great Republic takes on additional meaning. Please follow after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag
Flag of
of the United
United
States
States of America
and to the Republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Roll call, Director Amezcua. Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Wigand.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
You do have a quorum with nine directors present.
Okay. Do we have any items too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay. Do we have anyone who would like to speak? We'll listen. Anybody?
No hands.
Okay. Moving on to the consent calendar. Do we have a motion?
I would move approval.
We have a second. Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Roll call, Director Amezcua, Director Bilodeau,
Yes.
Director Green,
Yes.
Director Meeks,
Yes.
Director Nguyen. Director Nguyen? It looks like she's on mute. Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director
Yeah,
Tran?
I'm here. I'm
Okay.
sorry, Christina.
Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to pull, why? I think I need to pull item 13 if I'm voting no on that one.
If we have to pull or...
She wants to
She wants
pull
to...
item 13.
Okay. Pull
it. Or she could just register voting
She
no.
wants to vote no, but it's up to her if she wants to pull it.
Better hold it.
Can I vote yes and no on 13?
Sure.
Sure. Okay,
Sure.
I'll do that.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that okay? Would you prefer?
Not strongly enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's good for me. I just needed to vote no
Okay.
on that item.
No, you don't.
Yeah. She'll just be shown as a
Record
voting
a
no
no
on
vote.
13.
Yeah.
Okay, Director Tran.
The entire.
The entire committee.
Okay.
Director Wigand. Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with nine yes votes, with Director Amezcua absent and Director Nguyen registering a no vote on item number 13.
Okay, moving on to, is it 17? 18. The change order ratification and budget increase.
Yeah, Director of Engineering and Water Resources, Chris Olson, will present this to the board.
Thanks, John, and good evening, President Green, members of the board. So, all right, we're going to go over City of Tustin PFAS treatment system and the pipeline change order ratification budget increase. So, Tustin in our service boundary here, zooming in on there. City territory with those four wells that are part of this project shown in orange there. And this is a figure that I show all the time at our PFAS monthly updates. This project is the four wells that are part of a centralized treatment plant, and there's a pipeline involved 2.5 miles. So all four push the water to the main plant for treatment. This is a image I show recently, quite a bit about the PFAS treatment site itself. That's kind of been the main point of talk for the past 6 to 8 months over here. And again, those are the vessels being installed. What I want to point out, it's been a while since we've talked about this, is this project is not just pipeline, like I said, it's the treatment plant. So there's one prime contractor, that's Cali Agua. They've done other work for us and they're continuing to do PFAS treatment work for us. They have a subcontractor who's doing the pipeline installation, and that's Ferrera. So of that $20 million contract, the pipeline is $9 million. So it's pretty significant. And this item tonight, this item is for a large change order request. And what I'm going to do is walk through what's been discovered, what's happening now, what we've learned, and then show that the reality of what we found with some utility conflicts, some missing information, the reality is that the cost that I'm asking for tonight truly should have been in the original bid had all those items been incorporated, had we known about them and were able to incorporate them into the design. So let me go ahead and walk through that. So conflicts. So typically with the design of a pipeline, you've got your design consultant, in this case it's Jacobs, and they send out the request to all the utilities, water, sewer, power, communications, anything that's identified in the stretch of that pipeline alignment. You go through when you do a utility, a dig alert request for 50 potholes, verifying those, also popped 18 manhole lids, measured the invert elevation. So typical process you would do for design. So the Ferreira, the pipeline contractor, they started some work over on the Bonita section, and I'll show a little more information on this. But bottom line is they started some work, and as they got into the main section of road on Prospect, they encountered some utilities that were not on the plan. So they went ahead and did a significant amount of more potholing, sections of dig alert, verified some utilities that weren't shown. So we found a lot of utilities that were not captured in the design, and they were not shown on the record drawings that we had requested, or if they were shown on the record drawings that we received, they were not in the right location. This does happen. Unfortunately, this section in Tustin, it's a, and we were told this by Butier Engineering as our CM, that this section of pipeline that we're putting in is very heavily congested with utilities in the street, and we found that out. So what happens with those utilities not being captured is it has a significant increase in cost. Because you see is that in the table here, the length of the pipeline doesn't change, but the depth does. So we can avoid all those utilities that we are now seeing. So you have extra excavation, extra hauling of that excavated material, increased costs for shoring, more costs for the backfill of the crushed base. And then in some sections where it's just too deep to do conventional compaction, there's cement slurry backfill. And this happened over a significant section of the line. So here's that same pipeline. It's just shown in a different alignment, a different angle here. But this is the 2.5 miles, 13,000 feet. And if we look at it as to what was on the design currently before we made any revisions, what was in the bid, these are the only sections that didn't change. It's a very small amount, this part that's shown in the pinkish color. The only part that didn't change alignment. There's a section, the section shown in yellow, and I'll talk about this in a second of why I'm showing it separately. The section in yellow is segments of pipe that we already have received cost from the contractor as what they are. We've gone through it in great detail with our staff, with Butier Engineering Construction Management staff. We pulled all of their individual line items and costs from the schedule of values through the bid, verified, yes, these are accurate. Had this been part of the original design, this is what the cost should have been. And then we know that there's going to be this blue section, similar thing. We know there's more conflict. And then this is being worked out currently. So just want to pull up a little section here. It might be kind of hard to see because it's in grayscale. But so this red box that just popped up, this shows a 1,000-foot section of the pipeline alignment. And the top part reads design. That was the original design that was in the bid package. Bottom part is revised, and that's after more the potholing, additional potholing and verification was done. So that red rectangle below, if you can make out.
3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those are additional utilities that were not on the design
that were revised. The design was revised to account for them. So where the original design, we were like, okay, we're only going to have 3 feet to the top of the pipe shown in the above section here. Well, now it's 12 feet. So everything as far as cost gets magnified. And this happened throughout that whole, all those sections of where I had in the yellow and the blue. So it's a significant amount, but we do believe that this really should have been in the original bid, pretty comparable to what we're seeing here as the change order request. So just in summary of the development for this change order, they started that initial pipeline section on Bonita. They did that section in the summer. And then they found the other stuff that I was telling you about, the utilities, did the potholing. There was a delay as Jacobs was doing the redesign. They issued a redesign. Ferreira continued potholing in early 2024, just a few months ago. That first section of design was done on Prospect, and that's why it was said this has been determined what the costs are. And then they Ferreira did more potholing, completed that. Jacobs did the redesign of the section that was in blue that we haven't finalized yet. And that's what we are working out to find out, determine what those costs are. We're on the order of about $5.5 million total for all of that work. Like I said, we're refining those numbers with Butier Engineering, our construction manager, pouring through it, digging in, getting really, really accurate costs there. One thing that's, if you can look at it as a plus, the Caliagua, who's the prime, who's done work for us, who wants to continue doing work for us because they know we have a lot more work to do, they have really minimized their markup. So every prime can mark up a subcontractor up to 15% in our docs, and they're doing it on the order of around 5%, and in some spots, none. So they're really wanting to work with us because they know it's in a lot of extra costs as a good faith of just, you know, they like working with us. And then final note is Butier Engineering. We've been talking with them a lot about this, and they feel confident and comfortable in telling us that these unit prices that we're seeing with the revision are pretty comparable to what they've seen with similar projects in the city in the recent years. I forgot to mention, we did direct Ferreira the pipeline a couple weeks ago. Okay, we just start working on the pipeline with the redesign that we've done on a time and materials basis. Now, those costs will be built into this change order within that 5.5. And the reason we did that is because by doing that, it'll keep us on schedule in the timeline to have the pipeline same time complete as the treatment plant, so we don't have 3 to 6 months delay for a startup, and we can get that system operational. So it's a lot going on, and it's a lot of cost, but we do believe it is fair, and it probably should have been part of our original bid. I want to talk briefly about how those costs look on a table here. So design, CM, we're in the $3 million range. We've already had change orders 1 through 4. Those came to the board for ratification about 4 or 5 months ago. Part of tonight's request is to ratify change order 5. That's the line item there. And just generally speaking, it's items like an automatic transfer switch relocation, additional concrete coring. The big item here is there was a storm drain that was provided on the plans that wasn't accurate on the plans that we had to relocate and move it around. That was over $100,000 of this item, and then some additional electrical components. So again, similar situation right there. And that's change order number 5 that we're asking for ratification tonight. So as far as the contract goes, like we said, we're looking at about $5.5 million to go to $26 million for the contract when it was about 20, which pushes the overall budget to 32.7 instead of a 27.3. So it's about $5.6 million increase. And then just to summarize, the recommendation tonight is to ratify issuance of change order number 5, increase the project budget by 5.6 to a total of 32.7, and then authorize the general manager to execute that change order for the not to exceed 5.5, which we're comfortable we'll be able to meet that number to construct the additional pipeline costs. So that's a lot. I could take any questions.
Hey, any questions or comments?
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
Director Yeo.
Yeah, thank you, President Green. And Chris, thank you very much for the presentation. So regarding the additional cost, does it factor into the potential schedule delay that is the contractor claiming any schedule delay cost?
The prime is not, there are some delays that are incorporated into that change order that we're negotiating currently. So there's not anything additional beyond what I'm proposing as that 5.5.
Okay, so there's not going to be a surprise like a potential claim at the end of the contract.
I would hope not.
I would hope not to. Yeah, hopefully that scheduled delay cost is factoring into that, or you're negotiating a fair price. This reminded me of the regional connector subway project in downtown LA that started, that broke ground in 2014 and recently opened. I remember that digging up Second Street in downtown LA was a circus. If I recall correctly, Metro probably spent in excess of $300 million in utility relocation. So this is small potato. So yeah, if you are negotiating with the contractor about any potential schedule delay and things, the costs are factored into the 5.5, and I will be supportive of this recommendation. So thank you. With that, Mr. President Green, I will move the staff recommendation.
Director Whitaker.
Just really a comment, and I guess to vent just a little bit. Over at Orange County Sanitation District, we deal with some really large numbers sometimes. But in particular, they pick at change orders, and a change order of this magnitude, this percentage, there would be a tremendous amount of hand-wringing over there. But I'm convinced that not much could have been done in this case. I can only look at the fact that we celebrate when we receive sometimes a limited amount, a $5 million grant. And that $5 million has gone in a flash with this change order. So just comment. That's all.
Can I ask a real quick question? Potholing, does that mean you just punch a hole in the street to find out what's underneath? Is that what you're doing?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay.
They generally like to use something called an air knife truck, or use, or sometimes with a water slurry. Diameter, 6 to 8 inch diameter, go straight down till you find what you're looking for and tag it with an elevation and backfill it up.
What if you do a pothole in the wrong area and you don't find what you're looking for?
Gotta keep going. It happens. It does happen.
Okay.
And then when that happens, red flags start to go up. And then you do more, and then maybe you take a pause and realize there's a redesign coming. There's different things that start to happen when you don't find what you're looking for.
Okay.
That's a good thing. That tells you, hey, something's not right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you can figure out where that pipeline really is.
Got it.
Because it's not where the plans are showing it. And then
Kind of what happened in this.
Well, I would say what happened is that that did not happen during the design. It happened during the, as the contractor's looking, that we're finding things in different locations, and then that caused the redesign. Yes, to your point.
How does that happen? Where they find it in design, but they don't find it in construction.
So in design, when you get those record drawings from agencies and utilities, you put them on your plans, and then large ones maybe you're in question, you go out and try to find it, verify, yes, this is here. What happened is, as the contractor proceeded, they started digging and found stuff that wasn't on the plans and prompted them to do more potholing to locate what else is out here that we're not seeing on these plans that the designer never received. And that's how that came about.
Got it. Okay. I was just trying to figure out how it happened. Okay. We have a... Oh, please.
If I may. I'd like to concur with what Director Whitaker said. I think it's more than just hand-wringing. I'm stressed, actually. You're talking about a nearly 21% change order, increase in the change order, and how that would affect and actually affect the credibility or reputation even of the organization here. This is an open bid, I assume, that we've approved. So were there, if you can refresh our memory here, were there other bidders when this was open?
There were other bidders. What comes to mind, I don't remember if there was four or five, but what comes to mind is the number two bidder, who was just a little bit off of this total number, was an actual pipeline contractor, and their numbers were right there as that original cost. So if they would have come back in and found this too, we would have had that same thing. It was just the unknowns that were shown up later that we have to account for now. That's why I was saying, I believe in reality, if we knew about it, those costs would have come about in the beginning.
Okay. Well, it is what it is, and I understand that. But it's still, the numbers are staggering, frankly.
Yes.
If it's a 3 or 5% change order or the increase, that's manageable. But this is, we're talking to, based at least on my calculations, nearly 21%. Just in one pop. That's where we are.
Vice President Bilodeau?
You might have covered this, but the construction manager, it says Jacobs and it says Boutier. Did we switch in the middle of the project for some reason?
That is correct. We started off with Jacobs. If everyone will recall, we've been using the design consultant, whoever has CM services available. And then we quickly realized that the magnitude of the Tustin project with the pipeline, it wasn't the right match. So we reached out to Boutier, who has a good relationship with Tustin projects, and brought them on board about 6 or 7 months into it.
Okay. Thank you.
So Boutier is the primary construction manager now. Jacobs is still on as the engineer of record.
Thank you.
Boutier has a lot of good knowledge and experience in this type of work. So we feel pretty comfortable that the change order we're negotiating will be a fair price. So for what that's worth, okay. But we wish we would have known all this before.
Of course.
Yes, yeah.
Director Sheldon has his hand raised.
Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Madam President. I just say this is common. It's typical, more often than not, that you find these sort of problems in Tustin and in North Tustin. I have found them myself in projects. So I'm going to, first, I don't want to go forward with this, but I really think that Boutier Engineering should be paying for this entire price increase. And with that said, I'm going to second Director Yeo's motion to approve the action. I think Director Yeo did make a motion and there wasn't a call for a second, so I'll second it.
Okay.
Steve, I think you meant like Jacobs the designer.
No, I think Boutier should pay for it. Why not?
He's just the construction manager.
Okay, I was. Thanks. No, nobody smiles or laughs. It's okay. Never mind.
I'm Mr. Sheldon. This is Mr. Boutier. I am laughing. Just in case anybody else.
Trying to bankrupt you.
Okay, we have a motion. Oh,
Director Yeo.
Director Yeo.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. You know, Tustin. Old Tustin, this is probably one of the oldest parts of Orange County. And in Southern California, anything over 100 years old is old. And they probably did not keep good records of the as-bills. They just lay pipes and whatever, right? And it's just our bad luck that we did not encounter that during design. And the contractor bid on the design package. They bid on what we know, right? And then when they go out there, they start verifying those and found that there is more need. So the lessons learned is that when we work in older cities in Orange County, that's do more potholing than what we've done here. So, yeah, thank you.
Agreed.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Okay. Roll call, Director Amezcua.
Yes.
Just
Hang on just a second.
Sure. I just want to note for the record, since Director Amezcua has joined us virtually, that she's consulted with me. She let me know earlier today that she is ill and could have a contagious issue. So she is participating pursuant to AB 2449 for just cause, and she has otherwise complied with the requirements of it.
Thank you, Jeremy, very much.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran? Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 10 yes votes.
Water resources? Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. Annual Santa Ana River Water Master's report. Thank you.
This is the annual Santa Ana River Water Master report, and Roy Herndon will present it to the board.
Hi, good evening. Well, it's that time of year again. We just finished another annual report for the Water Master, and I'm happy to give a quick refresher to the board on who the Water Master is and why it is. It is the outcome of decades of litigation on the Santa Ana River all through the 1900s. And in 1969, there was a judgment, a stipulated judgment, that settled the water rights on the Santa Ana River, and it created the Water Master. And so I'll get to that in a second. One of the items that came out of the judgment is the required base flows on the Santa Ana River from the upstream agencies to Orange County. And so the way we measure base flows is the USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, has two gauging stations here shown in red, one in Riverside at the Riverside Narrows, not too far downstream from the Ricks project, if folks have been up at the Ricks project. And then, of course, at Prado Dam, just below Prado Dam, there's a stream gauge there. So these two stream gauges are specified in the judgment, and the base flows of the river are to be estimated at those two stations to make sure that the required minimum base flows are met at each of those locations. So the Water Master is actually five people. It's a committee. And according to the judgment, OCWD gets to appoint or nominate, I should say, two Water Masters. That's currently John Kennedy and myself. And Inland Empire Utilities Agency at the time was called Chino Basin Municipal Water District, its former name. Their general manager, Shivaji Deshmukh, is their Water Master. Western Municipal has Craig Miller, and Heather Dyer represents the Water Master for San Bernardino Valley. So that's the Water Master. It's actually an arm of the court, because this is a continuing issue. If there were ever to be a dispute in dealing with the Water Master or the Water Master findings, it would go back to the court. It has continuing jurisdiction over the case. We've never had an issue that we've had to go back to the court in all these years to get a ruling or anything from the judge. So it's been very peaceful for all these years. So some of the duties, it's a fairly simple charge given to the Water Master, but essentially to maintain a continuous record of flows on the Santa Ana River using those two key stations, stream gauges, and to come up with the findings and see if the terms of the judgment are being met and prepare an annual report. So that's the job of the Water Master. Where does our base flow come from? Well, base flow is the flow in the river that we get all year round. So we have storm flow and we have base flow. And most of the water that makes up the base flow is from upstream treatment plants. This is treated wastewater from about 18 or so upstream treatment plants that then discharge their water into the Santa Ana River, and which flows down to us, and we're happy to get it, and we recharge it into the basin as we've done for decades. So those red dots show where the wastewater treatment plants are. That's a map of the Santa Ana River watershed. And so what the data look like is it's plotted on a graph, and we call it a hydrograph. And in this case, it's a one-year record of flow on the Santa Ana River. And this is the year we're talking about, year 2022 through 2023. The Water Master uses the state and the federal water year, which is from October 1st through September 30th. Now, we at the Water District, our water year is July 1st through June 30th, so we're shifted about 3 months. So this graph starts on October 1st in 2022 and goes all the way through September 30th. Of 2023. So that's the 1 year period. And so we have flow on the y-axis. So the higher the flow, the goes up. And then at the very top, those bars That's rainfall. So we have kind of two sets of data. We have flow data on the river, and then the bars indicate how the rainfall was distributed last year. A very wet year last year, and we're having a wet year this year. So we have two consecutive really wet years, which we should have a pretty good amount of flow coming to us. As we know, we have already this year. So what the Water Master does is it just takes the daily data, plots it on a graph, and then the interpretation is drawing that curved line, which is what they call, sometimes we call it a scalp line. We're scalping off the storm flow from the base flow. And so that's the base flow curve that we draw. And each Water Master does their own base flow curve, and then we average the five together and come up with an average line, and that's what that represents. So the red indicates storm flow. And so anything above the base flow or there's flow, we call that storm flow, and that's what's shown there. So what's kind of interesting is you folks might remember Hillary, the tropical storm that hit in August. That's what that big red colored in area is to the right in August when we had that big storm event. Well, as Ben Smith had mentioned a month or so ago, we captured a tremendous amount of that water and recharged it. So unusual to get a big storm in August like we did, but that's what we see there. So that's what we do at two spots. This is the Prado hydrograph, and we do the same thing at the Riverside Narrows where there's less water. So we don't see as much flow upstream. So more tributaries come into the river by the time you get to Prado. So we total up all the base flow numbers, all the daily base flow data, and the storm flow data. And these are our basic summary findings here for the year. And I've just included the prior year so you have a comparison from one year to the next. So the year that the findings that we're talking about here is the rightmost column in yellow, the 22-23 year. And you can see we had almost 26 inches of rain at San Bernardino that year compared to only about 11 inches. It was a dry year the prior year. And look at the difference in total flow out of Prado, about over 300,000 acre feet of flow, that's base and storm flow combined, versus 118,000 acre feet the prior year. And then, so that component of the flow, which is base flow, that's that below the curve that we saw, that totaled up to an amazing amount of water. We hadn't seen this in quite a few years, 89,000, a little over 89,000 acre feet. That's a very good year. Our average over the last 5 years has been closer to around 75,000. So this is a lot more than we normally have. And one of the other components of data that we look at is the TDS, the salt content of the flows. And as you can imagine, with all that storm flow, that has a lower TDS, lower salt content concentration. So the flow weighted TDS was only 354 milligrams per liter. So good quality water when we get all that storm flow. And in the judgment, the upstream agencies get a credit if the TDS of the flows of the river are lower than 700 TDS. So they actually bump up the credit that they get for the water that they give to us, and they call it the adjusted base flow. So the real base flow was 89,199, but because the TDS was so low, there's a numerical formula, and they actually increase the credit that they get, in this case, up to almost 115,000 acre feet. What does the credit really mean? Nothing. At this stage, it really doesn't. It's only if they were to ever not meet their required minimum base flow of 42,000, then they can use the credit to work off of that. Well, we figured it out. It's like 600 or 800 years of credit. So it'll always be there. It just keeps accumulating. So it's kind of silly. But the last graph I wanted to show is why did the base flow go up? It's a storm year, so we understand that. Well, when we have really wet years, the upstream agencies don't have a place to put their recycled water. They're Percolation basins are full of storm flow, and so they discharge more water to the river rather than percolate it or use it upstream. And so we can see there's a really good correlation here of wastewater discharges to base flow. And so the they discharged about, I think, almost 10,000 or so acre feet more into the river. And that's that little bump up this last year in red. You can see that jog up. Well, we see the same thing in the base flow, a little bit more, but a very good correlation. So they definitely discharge, and we get the data from them. So we definitely saw they discharge more wastewater to the river, and that showed up in the base flow. So, and this does show the absolute minimum. Doesn't matter how much credit they have. The minimum required base flow is 34,000 acre feet. So we're a nice cushion, plenty of room between what we're actually getting and 34,000 acre feet. So that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions or comments?
Just quickly, President Green, you know, Roy mentioned that a 3.9 million acre feet of credit, that's more than Lake Oroville, right? That's kind of silly that
you made a lot of water.
Yeah, thanks. Great presentation. Thank you.
Roy, I have a question. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, I went for the opening of the East Valley Water District.
Yeah, their Sterling Nature Center. Yes.
Okay, so they will be using more of their water. How much of a difference is that going to make?
I think it was in the neighborhood, and I could be off, but I thought it was in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 7,000 acre feet of reduced flow that might come. So they're still well within, you know, if we drop it by 5 or 7,000 acre feet, the upstream agencies will still be well above their, you know, their minimum. So
not really appreciable.
It's their right to do it. They can do it, and as long as they're meeting the minimum base flow, then there's nothing we can do about it. Yep.
Yeah, it just reduces our ability to make a call on the river to say, "Hey, you're not discharging enough into the river." And they'll say, "Well, we've got like 4 million acre feet banked, and so have a nice day." So it really just kind of eliminates our ability to make a call.
Yep.
Director Whitaker.
Yes. When the minimum amounts were set back when it was before the real peak in population in the Inland Empire. So there was never a consideration for an adjustment based on that.
In fact, I have a back pocket slide here. I can go to, this is the historical base flow going all the way back to the 1930s. And look in the 1950s here, how low the blue would be the base flows. And they're right down there in the range of 34,000 acre feet. So that was the kind of data that was being looked at when the judgment was being negotiated. And so that's, I think they said, well, historically, that's kind of the amount of base flow you've been getting, Orange County. So I guess we decided that was a reasonable amount, and there was no consideration for, well, what if it increased? They said they wanted to say, pick a number, let's finalize it, negotiate it, and that's that. So that's what they did.
And now in recent years, we've had a bit of a downward trend.
Yes.
In part because they're doing their part to purify wastewater upriver from us, right?
That's right. So you can see we had some amazing years in the late 90s, early 2000s, where we were getting 150,000 acre feet of base flow. But then they finally realized, hey, look at Orange County. They're recycling all their wastewater. Look at it, what they're doing. So then they started doing it, and their demands have been dropping. Right. That's the other big reason, is that we've seen our demands go down by 20-25%. So have theirs. And so their wastewater discharges have gone
very
down.
Very good display here to give us a good concept here over the decades. So good information. Thanks.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you for your report, Roy.
You're very welcome.
Moving on to water resources.
That's contained in the packet.
Okay. Action agenda property.
Madam President, the information is contained in the packet.
All right. Communications and ledge.
The meeting minutes are the last page of the packet. Thank you.
Okay. All right. The verbal reports. I'll just give a real quick report. Last week, we were in Sacramento for the Aqua Conference. I thought the content was probably one of the best I have ever attended. It was very, very good. We were all surprised by the governor coming and attending one of the sessions and addressing us. So that was a nice surprise. General Manager?
I guess I should mention we'll be in Washington next week. President Green, myself, Alicia, our federal lobbyist, meeting with senators, Correa's office, the EPA, the Corps of Engineers, and others just to talk about what we're doing and what our needs are from a federal aspect. So we'll be Tuesday and Wednesday. We have lots of meetings scheduled. Yeah.
Okay. Any director's reports? I don't see any hands. Okay. General Counsel?
Thank you, Madam President. No closed sessions this evening, and I have nothing else to report.
We are adjourned.